Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Tonight's entertainment. Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, another MMA podcast presented by the AMP Radio Network. Tonight, we are going to be lucky enough to be joined by Mr. Danny Austin, at Danny Austin underscore 9, on AM 770 Canada, on Calgary Global News, having to cover the game tonight. The Calgary Stampeders are playing the Ottawa Red Blacks. For all of you that are, they are two teams in said league. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to do a quick rundown point of view. Actually, Danny had a big breaking news yesterday coming out at us. He did announce the JDS versus Francis Ngannou fight. He was the first person to break that news, and we'll get into that. Your radio spot on 770 AM Global News. I was listening live until I had to come on the show. You sounded great, my friend.
Thank you so much. Yeah, this start covering football, and all of a sudden, all the radio people apparently want you for 5 minutes to tell you something about the CFL. I don't even know.
Yeah, I was explaining to the audience that we only have you for a quick period of time because you are going to be covering the Calgary Stampeders versus the Red Blacks game tonight. So, you know what we should do, Danny, is just get into it. You know what I mean? We should get into some MMA talk because I contacted you on Sunday and you said, you know what, I got some stuff going on, but I really want to talk MMA. So let's get into it, shall we?
Yeah, man. It's been a while. That's more than anything. I've been excited to chat with you again. It's been a busy time for both of us, but yeah, I love doing it. So let's talk.
All right. So as I was saying at the top of the show, you broke some news yesterday. A big fight in the heavyweight division. So why don't you go ahead and give us the details on that? And just for anybody who's posing, Danny Austin broke the news first, just so you know.
I appreciate you giving me that shout out. I don't think there's anything that drives reporters crazier than when outlets don't give them credit for reporting news first. So effectively, Francis Ngannou and Junior Dos Santos fighting in Edmonton. It's honestly, I sort of got the information, put it out there, and obviously this is a fight that people are really, really excited about. It's a huge step up for Francis Ngannou. You know, Junior Dos Santos got beat pretty good by Stipe in May, but, you know, that was a title fight. So all of a sudden you've got Francis Ngannou fighting a guy who was the number one contender, you know, just a couple months ago. So I love this fight. I can't think of the last fight in Canada that was this big, and I don't even think this is going to be the main event. We'll probably get a title fight, but I mean, What was the last fight you can think of that, you know, had the MMA casual fans, I think, are interested in Ngannou as well. So, I mean, I just think this is going to bring in a huge audience. It's great for Edmonton. It's great for Canadian MMA that we're seeing that the UFC is willing to bring a fight this big to a smaller Canadian market.
Yeah, it's very exciting for you guys out there, and I'm glad for you guys. But I am a little bit worried for JDS. I don't know if you share my sentiments because, of course, we've seen JDS, you know, lose a few times in a row now in an impressive fashion. And he's going up against an up-and-rising beast in Francis Ngannou. Are you a little worried like I am for JDS?
I mean, I am. I would also, and I wouldn't say caution. And please let me know. The wind just picked up here. It's Alberta, so it happens.
If
you are getting wind, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I definitely think that Ngannou has shown us, you know, that he is a really, really amazing prospect, and that we're all really excited. And I personally think, you know, hopefully he gets one, two more fights, and Stipe gets another two fights. And I think that that's a huge heavyweight fight that could possibly, you know, do International Fight Week headlining duties next year. At the same time, I mean, I was really high on Yair Rodriguez, and we saw what happened when, you know, a prospect was rushed into a top opponent in Frankie Edgar, who beat him pretty good. So, you know, we guys can look amazing and have setbacks. This is a huge step up in competition. And Ngannou's last fight was Andrei Arlovsky, who, let's just be frank about it, is not the same fighter that he used to be. And his chin is not what it was. So I think I personally, you know, I'd be picking Ngannou here, but I don't think it's as simple as that, because I don't think we've seen him fight anyone with, you know, the striking abilities that Junior has.
Correct. Yeah, and it'd be a definitely a strong test for Ngannou. Also, a side note, Ngannou apparently brought the Black Beast Derek Lewis out of semi-retirement. If you heard him on the MMA Fortnite, Derek Lewis is coming back and he's ready to fight Francis Ngannou after this fight. So some good heavyweight fights in the future, hopefully. Let's switch gears a little bit, Danny, because I know that we're pressed for time and I want to get a bunch of different topics thrown at you real quick as you make your way to cover the Stampeders game on home turf, by the way. And I noticed your awesome setup that they finally gave you in the press box last time you were there. So you should enjoy that, right?
You bet. I'm not sure if Calgary is going to respond. I mean, we got two little bottles of whiskey, a flask, and a nice tall boy of Budweiser from Ottawa. So pressure's on the Calgary PR staff.
Wonderful. Okay, so since you are in Alberta, I wanted to just touch on the Tim Haig unfortunate incidents that happened. Of course, if anybody does not know, Tim Haig, who is a former UFC fighter, took a boxing match, apparently very, very concussed or very injured in the brain, and ended up taking a lot of damage in the first round, perhaps should not have been in there with the caliber of fighter that he was in, and eventually did lose his life in that fight. So, Danny, basically what I want to throw at you is there any new information moving forward in the province? One thing that there's two things. When I was watching this unfold live on Twitter, on James Lynch's Twitter feed, one thing that I noted in my head was, damn, boxing is dangerous. And two, it's really, really unfortunate that a former UFC fighter has to really, you know, for lack of a better word, whore himself out to make money. You know what I mean? I mean, he had a job as a teacher, but, you know, he seemed to be taking these fights because he needed the money, and that seems really unfortunate. So I know that's a lot to throw at you, but any new news on the front there in Alberta on the Tim Haig case?
I mean, not particularly. I think that there will be news that will eventually come out. I mean, this there has to be an investigation into this. I think that I don't want to throw shade publicly too hard at the Edmonton Commission. There are plenty of people in Edmonton who are doing that online and are bringing up a lot of issues that they have, and the issues that they've seen, and have said that this is a commission that, you know, has put on some unsafe fights. I don't know any of that, so I don't want to say that. The issue here is that we need to rely on these commissions to make sure that fighters are fit to be fighting. I don't really care about the caliber of opponents. I mean, to a certain extent I do, but I don't think that was the issue. I think the issue is that Tim Haig had been knocked out quite recently. And that leaves the brain more vulnerable to further trauma. You know, whether that's a death or whatever, I don't want to, I'm trying to be careful here and not try to assign blame. But I think that there needs to be an investigation because, a fighter died. So there has to be an investigation no matter what. But if there were factors where, you know, proper medical screening could have prevented this or anything like that, you know, we need to know about that. And the commission needs to undergo major, major change. And, you know, I know you know how high I am on a bantamweight out of Calgary named Jesse Arnett. Jesse boxed last weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't actually know how it went. I have not time to check. But, you know, guys bouncing between boxing and MMA, I sure hope it's not becoming a thing just because the biggest star is doing it. And I certainly hope it's not becoming a thing because guys need the money.
Yeah, and that was, like I said earlier on, it was just kind of one thing that I kind of stuck out in my head. And, you know, kind of, you know, boxing is to me, is very dangerous. I mean, we've seen a lot of people die in the ring. And it's unfortunate because 90% of the shots in boxing go to the head, right? So, anyways, I digress. We don't want to get the lump on right now. And I just wanted to pay tribute, and I wanted
to
mention to
be
Tim
perfectly
Haig
honest,
because we had not.
No, and I just want to be clear. I mean, I don't want to get sued. I mean, that's part of why I'm being careful.
I mean,
I think that there are probably pretty serious issues, but you know, there needs to be a public inquiry into those issues, and I don't want to be sitting here making accusations.
Yeah, I agree.
Totally clear. If my answer was a little political, that's the reason why. And you know, I am very angry about the Tim Hague thing. To be perfectly blunt. So.
Okay, fair enough. That makes two of us. So let's move on then from that, because we've only got you for like another 15 minutes. So let's move on to something that we've kind of talked about before, Danny. We've kind of touched on the fact that Damian Maia has been getting hosed for the past little while. And it seems like if what Dana White is saying to MMA Junkie is true, that not only is Damian Maia fighting Tyron Woodley fairly soon, but the winner of that fight will also get GSP. And we've talked about this in the past, how we don't like to see Damian Maia, you know, being treated the way he is. And again, the UFC is treating him unfairly. I mean, they're rushing him in to fight Woodley. Of course, he is taking the fight, but we've also heard that the UFC has strong-armed Damian Maia in the past. What are your thoughts on this? And do you think that the GSP is actually going to fight for the title at 170, or do you think he's still going to fight Bisping later on for the 185 belt?
I mean, there's a level where I do believe that he's going to fight at 170. I mean, I think that they're trying to get it from Madison Square Garden. The stars kind of align here, so it makes sense that that's what they're doing. It does suck for Maya. I think the reason why they booked this fight for 214 was because Jones and Cormier has fallen out so many times that they want extra insurance. I think it has more to do with that than getting them both ready for, you know, November. Because we know the fight game. You know, we know what can happen. And there's no guarantee that just because the fight's happening at the end of July, the next fight's going to happen in November. So, you know, that level of planning you just can't do. But I think that they just need to make sure that if something happens with Jones or something happens with Cormier, it's not just Cyborg whose star power, I believe, is overstated quite a bit by MMA media often. I mean, I think she's a star within our little world. I don't think most people have any idea who she is outside of our little bubble. But so that's why I think that's why it's happening. I mean, all things considered, if Bisping ends up fighting St. Pierre, there's going to be a huge uproar. There's going to be a riot. I just don't see how. I mean, at this point, they've laid out the path for the middleweight division, and they're laying out the path for the welterweight division, and any deviation from that is going to be received very poorly. So I would hope that, you know, we've got the interim title fight at middleweight coming up, and we've got this title fight, and I would hope that this is actually something where we might be getting back to the UFC of old, where, you know, the right thing happens.
Yeah, let's hope so. And I've said in the past that I don't believe the GSP needs to contend for that 170 belt, but hey, I'd like to see him do it. I would definitely like to see him contend and not just take money fights. So yeah, if we're returning, like you said, if we're returning to the days of old where we're doing what's right, I applaud that. Quickly, I wanted to just get your thoughts, because I saw an article today on Bloody Elbow come out that Lorenzo Fertitta has started speaking under oath about or regarding the class action lawsuit. Did you see this article by any chance, or am I catching you off guard?
You're catching me a little off guard, but that doesn't mean that I'm not interested in hearing what you have to say about it. And that doesn't mean I can't form a very quick opinion on it and just, you know, shoot from the hip.
Yeah, basically what I read was that, you know, it was very Lorenzo was very calm and cool and like we would expect him to be, and he definitely was prepared by his legal team to answer the questions properly or appropriately to back up the case that they are trying to promote, that the UFC is trying to promote. But of course, not all of the information has been released from this particular hearing, and we're hearing that, Danny, that we probably won't even get to trial until, you know, maybe 2018, maybe 2019. So this class action lawsuit is really, really going to take a long time to come through. And as we've talked about before on this show with you, Danny, I do find that this is going to be a game changer, this class action lawsuit. All of the information that is going to come out is necessary for it to come out, and I know that you agree with me, but it's just, I thought it was very interesting to see that Lorenzo was on the stand and trying to defend himself and the company for that they were appropriately acting in good faith.
And I mean, that's nothing you wouldn't assume, right? I mean, the Fertittas are billionaires. Right. They're going to have the best lawyers in the world. I agree with you that, I mean, this is going to be huge. I mean, in the history of sports, there are, lawsuits where you're getting people who, they have no obligation to speak to the media, but they have an obligation to speak to the courts. And,
right.
There are so many issues that we all have with the UFC. I think we still support it, but airing your dirty laundry in public is almost never a good thing. And it sure looks like this is what it's going to be forced to do. And whether that brings about permanent change, I don't know. But, I think there are going to be a lot of fighters who are pretty upset with what they hear, let alone what the result ends up being.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing that the UFC fighters trending towards, questioning what's happening a lot more. And we've talked about this on this show before, so we don't need to get into it a lot more. If you want to hear our conversations, go back in the archives. Anytime that Danny Austin is on, we always have hot takes. We always talk about fighter rights. So go back in the archives, listeners, and check those out. Okay, Danny, we're going to do a little bit of rapid fire here because we've only got you for 10 more minutes, maybe. So rapid fire. Are you ready?
I'm ready, man. Do it.
All right. So Michael Chandler on the weekend at Bellator NYC lost his belt due to, injury. And he was on the MMA Fortnight on Monday telling Ariel Helwani that he still believes that he is champion and that this loss was unjust and yada, yada, yada. He's not really injured. And then we heard Scott Coker say that he thinks that the immediate rematch is the thing to do. So first of all, obviously Michael Chandler lost that fight due to injury, and we should, we should accept the fact that we have a new champion, correct?
100%. That's how you lose most fights in MMA, is due to an injury, whether it's a knockout, whatever it is. Guys lose because of injury all the time. That's the nature of the sport. You lose, you lose. I mean, I know what he's trying to do. I don't blame him for it. But, I mean, we can also laugh and say it's ridiculous. I imagine your next question was going to be about Scott Coker doing the rematch. So I'll just kind of offer my thoughts on that. Yeah, sure, do it. I mean, that's what Scott Coker's good at. Does he automatically deserve a rematch? No. But, I mean, Michael Chandler is one of Bellator's, big tickets. So I understand them protecting their asset and, wanting to throw him in another title fight, because if he loses, he loses. If he wins, he wins. That's great, but it's a lot lower risk. You can make a little money off that versus having him go down and fight another contender, God only knows who. And if he loses that, then you lost your big ticket. So Scott Coker's, there's a level where I treat Bellator with kid's gloves. And that's probably what I'm doing here. I'd probably be angry if the UFC was doing it, but it's like Bellator's roster is so thin as it is, and they do so many silly things that this one isn't the thing that's going to piss me off.
Okay. So before we put a bow on, Bellator NYC, let's talk about the pay-per-view numbers. Well, you know what? First of all, let's talk about the free show numbers. Bellator 180. Now the press release that I saw on Twitter was very impressive. The numbers are very good. However, it also did state at the bottom in very small print that the numbers included not only Spike TV, but the numbers from CMT. So I was very confused about that. Did you see that by any chance? And what do you think about that?
I mean, I didn't see that. So that sounds, again, ridiculous to me, but part of the course of Bellator.
Yeah.
I I was surprised. I was in Ottawa and just went to the bar with my uncle to kind of, you know, his kids were going to bed. So just slipped out for literally a pint. And I was shocked that it was on in the bar. It was on all the screens. So, I mean, I do think that this probably did better than most Bellator events. But, I mean, like, yeah, I imagine there's some fudging of the numbers there. And, you know, Bellator is just trying to matter. So they're going to do whatever they can to show the people care. And that sounds what this was. And I mean, I don't know if anyone cares. I don't think people do. I you know, ESPN isn't really going to be talking about these guys. So, yeah.
Yeah. I kind of had the same point of view. And I thought it was very interesting that in the post-fight press conference when they asked Scott Coker about the pay-per-view numbers. And of course, let's educate the audience. This is only Bellator's second pay-per-view event, even though the Viacom officials say that they're going to do many more in the future. I really do believe, Danny, that it's going to hinge on whether or not they did numbers here. They seem to have spent a lot of money, Danny. I don't know if while you were at the bar you could tell that they did seem to spend a lot of money on not only production, but, you know, on the production in the post-fight press conferences. They did make everything look very, very nicely. And, of course, we know that it's very expensive, Danny, to throw shows or to run shows in the state of New York. So I hope it works out for them. I'm very, very interested in these pay-per-view numbers. Are you very interested to see how they did?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to do very well by UFC standards at all. But, I mean, as you said, like, if they're I've said this before, if they're trying to build something with this pay-per-view thing, good for them. I think it's a ridiculous strategy that is going to, you know, fall flat on its face. But, I mean, I don't know how much more money it costs them to put on a pay-per-view. It sure costs them a lot to do it at MSG, but, you know, why not? I can't begrudge them for going as big as they want. As you said, I mean, I like the Bellator production. I think it's, I really hope that we don't ever have to watch national anthems in the ring again. I think it's so stupid and takes away. It takes away from the tension. No, my God, it was ridiculous. And like, for me, that's a really fun. Like, if you're a fight fan and you're in the arena, but also if you're just watching on TV, it's amazing that from the moment that, you know, especially if the lights drop, the fighters walk out, and there's just this tension as they stand in the ring and they're ready to go. And then making us wait five extra minutes while they do idiotic national anthems and like Chael Sonnen puts his hand on his chest. It takes away from that really tense moment that I love so much. So that's my only complaint. That's not really the question, but I wanted to get that off my chest. No more national anthems in the ring.
No, that's fine. I appreciate it. Please vent all you want on this show. Next and last rapid fire question before we get you out of here, Danny, because I know that you are swiftly moving to the press box as we speak.
I've got to get the media meal. That's the big thing. Where am I at with Johnny Hendricks?
Absolutely. So,
yeah.
Where
am I at with Johnny
Hendricks?
Yep. The UFC should cut him. That's my opinion. I like Johnny Hendricks as much as the next guy. The guy doesn't make weight. That's unprofessional. There have to be standards in this game. I'm sure he'd go, you know, I'm sure Bellator would pick him up, and that's part of why the UFC doesn't want to cut him. You know, he's not relevant in either of the divisions that he's fought in recently. Not making weight is, I mean, I wish that there were better regulations so that fighters didn't have to cut as much weight, but I'm not sure that's really the issue with Johnny Hendricks at this point. I know he said he had a fever. Man, too bad. Like, Sage Northcutt made weight when he had strep throat. I have no patience for it. And we all like Johnny Hendricks. I think he's a really, really nice guy. But he's lost a bunch of fights in a row. It's one of the steepest fall-offs I've ever seen in the sport, and it sucks. But, you know, I just don't see the arguments beyond, well, you know, he might be a little bit of a draw, but I don't even know if that's true. Come on. I mean, enough's enough. You know, you carry an extra 15 pounds into the octagon and couldn't make weight. I mean, that's on him. So, yeah, that's my hot take. Yeah, just got totally KO'd. Like, the guy just, I mean, he's not interesting to me as a fighter anymore. He's more trouble than he's worth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a great scrappy fighter, and that was always awesome. He put on some really great fights, but he doesn't anymore. So I just don't see the argument for keeping him around.
All right, Danny, get out of here. Go get that meal. Enjoy the game tonight, and hopefully Calgary can do it on home turf. Apparently, Danny, a serious rivalry now.
Oh, it's a big rivalry, man. It's Grey Cup champions versus the best team in the league last year. Who lost them in the Grey Cup? It's an awesome rivalry. It's super fun. I'm loving the CFL stuff, but I can't wait to, you know, dive back into MMA at the next event I'm at. Thank you for having me. Let's do this again soon.
All right, brother. Have a good night. Thank you.
You bet. Cheers. Thanks, man.
Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Danny Austin. Follow him on Twitter, @DannyAustin_9. Of course, he's a post media of the Calgary Sun, and you can find his stuff calgarysun.com/sports. He is going off to eat the free media lunch. Well, I guess it's free media dinner at this point in time. Thank you very much, Danny Austin. We always appreciate you being on. We always appreciate you being open and honest. That's right. Word to your mother. Okay, so we are going to end this show. As I said, it's going to be a very quick show. We're going to wrap it up in 30 minutes. Look at that, DJ Tony. What a professional I am. Getting it done. Getting in, getting out. All right, so listen, guys. Next week, we have a big, big weekend. We have two events. We have one on Friday, the Ultimate Fighter Finale. Johnson. There it is. I don't know what happened there. Also followed on Saturday by UFC 213, Nunes versus Shevchenko. We will have Smack My Picks Up Edition coming at you on Wednesday with @PandoraBox with two X's, @MaldaMarco, who of course gave us out a shout out today on The Countdown with Michael Bisping. Thank you very much, Marco, for doing that. Thank you all for listening. And of course, we'll have myself and DJ Tony. Follow us @I'mDJTony and @Proadus, Proados. That's me. Check us out. We're going to probably have to do 2 hours next week because it's going to be chock full of good fights. All right, guys, I promised DJ Tony that I would keep this short. I would keep it sweet. We've got Ice Ice Baby coming at you. I cannot find the drop of Rooney at this time, so I will continue to talk. Listen, I don't think I'm going to have a 46 Primetime show next week. It's going to be just it's just going to be Smack My Picks Up Edition. And then you know what we're going to do? We're probably going to do This Week in MMA. And we'll recap all of these set events. And just like that, everybody, guess what?
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
That's exactly what I did to your mother, buddy.